Do you want to learn effective ways to build relationships, generate sales, and grow your business from successful entrepreneurs, startups, and CEOs without listening to a long, long, long interview? If so, you've come to the right place. Gresham Harkness values your time and is ready to share with you precisely the information you're in search of. This is the I Am CEO Podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Gresh from the I Am CEO Podcast, and I have a very special guest on the show today at Paul Lashlier of Learning Life. Paul, it's awesome to have you on the show.
Great to be here.
Super excited to have you on. And what I want to do is just read a little bit more about Paul so you can hear about all the awesome things that he's doing. And Paul is a sociologist and founder and director of The Learning Life, a Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit lab innovating education and citizen engagement. Learning Life's flagship program, the Family Diplomacy Initiative, is developing a family form of citizen diplomacy to help democratize diplomacy. Paul holds a BA in sociology from Georgetown University, Hoya Saxa, and an MA and PhD in sociology from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Before founding Learning Life in 2012, he taught at Stetson, Harvard, Tufts, and the University of Wisconsin. Paul's writing and research and programmatic work focuses on the intersection of democracy, culture, and education. His writings have appeared in academic journals as well as popular media, including the Boston Globe, Chicago Tribune, Orlando Sentinel, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Albuquerque Journal, and truthout.org. Paul, are you ready to speak to the IMCO community?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Let's do it. So to kick everything off, I wanted to hear a little bit more about what I call your CEO story to hear what led you to get started with your organization.
Sure. So I usually give kind of like a whirlwind tour through my life. So it'll be relatively brief. I was born and raised in France up until age 11 in the Paris area. My father's French American, my mother's Spanish American, which helps explain why I do the kind of culture / international work that I do now. Mm-hmm. We moved to the United States. I moved around for school, ended up at Georgetown as an undergraduate, as you indicated, and then graduate school at the University of Wisconsin. All of my degrees are in sociology. I love sociology, clearly. And then I taught for a while at Stetson University in Florida from 2008 to 2012. But I left academia in 2012 and started Learning Life, this educational nonprofit, because I wanted to be more directly involved in social change. So basically kind of my animus in life is to try to make the world a better place, sure, improve life for other people, but particularly to empower people lower down the socioeconomic scale who don't have as much voice. And so that's essentially what we do in different ways with Learning Life.
I definitely appreciate that. And I think that I feel like in this day and age, we have a lot more of a voice than we've ever had. But I think that sometimes if you don't know that you have a voice, or you aren't aware of that, or even aware that you can voice your opinion, sometimes it's basically the same as not even having a voice. So I appreciate you for, you know, all you're doing to help, you know, especially those people in this lower socioeconomic ranges, be able to understand that and understand that they can take changes and take action towards, you know, having a voice and being part of the change they want to see.
Yeah, you know, I'll notice, because we're in the current coronavirus epidemic right now, that mm-hmm. I just actually got off the phone with my mentee. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we run through Learning Life is an international mentoring program. Mm-hmm. And he's a 14-year-old, he's going to be 14 May 18th, African-American kid from Ward 8, this poorest ward of Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, looking for stuff to do because, of course, he's out of school. And so we've been basically meeting for more than half an hour. It originally was planned for just 15 minutes, but we're like meeting for this time we met for like 49 minutes, and it's great. It's been awesome because he's got less going on. He's much more focused on our conversations. We're learning lots together. We're learning about drones, because he's interested in learning about all our mentoring is all about international learning, and he's learning about drones. And so we're learning together about this stuff. And next time he's basically going to be teaching me nice. About some video that we're going to watch together, and then he's going to lead the discussion. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, great to have those opportunities. And I love how you talked about it. It's like, you know, sometimes obviously it's a difficult time, you know, for everybody, but I think that sometimes when we reframe certain things, it can sometimes help us to see the silver lining in things. As you said, he's able to be a lot more kind of focused because there's not as many distractions. So it allows us to really kind of, drill down on the things that are most important to us, and sometimes sharpen our saw in certain areas, as it could be drones or anything else that anybody might be listening to. But I definitely appreciate that. So I know that's one aspect of, you know, what you're doing with Learning Life. Could you take us through like all the other kind of things that you're doing and programs that you have for people?
Yeah. So basically, as I mentioned, Learning Life is an educational nonprofit. So if anybody wanted to learn the details, they can go to learninglife.info. We are an unusual educational nonprofit in the sense that our broad mission is to innovate education and citizen engagement outside school walls. And the reason for that is because a lot of inequality is generated, not just in schools, it's generated actually in neighborhoods and families. And so so we started in 2016, the programs that we now operate. So we started in 2012, but we kind of refocused towards international education in 2016. So we have three programs. The first, which was started in 2016, is the Family Diplomacy Initiative, which you mentioned early on. That is an effort at kind of citizen engagement education using the internet. What we do is use Facebook to connect families from different parts of the world. These are families that are not related to each other. They connect from different parts of the world to our Facebook group. And the Facebook group are now expanding. We did a couple of pilot projects involving lower income families in Washington, D.C., El Salvador, Senegal, and Jordan. And those were a community photo project and nutrition and food culture project. We're now scaling up. And this year, we're going to be asking six questions focused on food, like what does breakfast look like in your family? What does dinner look like in your family? What's a comfort food in your family? And that kind of thing. And we're going to be getting answers from a panel of families across the world. And they're going to be giving photographic answers. So the idea is to get families to learn together across borders from each other. And that's kind of the next stage in the development of this Family Diplomacy Initiative, where we're essentially trying to, in the long term, elevate the profile of families in and the needs and their concerns and aspirations to try to develop more caring in international relations and in a not so caring world. So that's our Family Diplomacy Initiative. The second program that we have is an international mentoring program. So it is international in two senses currently. One is that some of our kids are in El Salvador and Senegal, and some of our kids are here in Washington, D.C. The other sense it's international is that we're trying to open up the world to kids from lower income backgrounds. Precisely because international affairs tends to be the province of more privileged people who can afford to travel, like middle and upper income people, the internet presents a wonderful opportunity to bring the world to people. But you need programs like ours to do that. And so we match kids up with professionals in the Metro D.C. area, and in some cases students as well. Usually who have some interest in international affairs or who are professionals in international affairs, but they don't have to be. So that anybody in Metro DC is a caring adult who wants to help out a kid to learn about the wider world can participate. And so so we currently have about 25 mentor-mentee pairs, and the mentors go out when there's no pandemic going on. They go out to embassies, cultural festivals, foreign restaurants, you know, museums, libraries, et cetera, and so forth, to help open the world to our kids. And if they're mentoring kids in El Salvador, Senegal, they're doing that online and trying to connect their interests to the wider world. So the last thing is we have a democracy dinners, and those are, that's our only program that's not strictly international. And that basically brings together democracy activists, democracy people who are studying democracy as academics, and then professionals who are operate in different kind of silos. In other words, they have come their own specialties. What we're trying to do is to get, in this time of authoritarian resurgence and concern about democracy, we're trying to get people in different areas of democracy in the Metro DC region, and that's tens of thousands of people, to talk to each other. And we basically organize small dinners of 6 to 8 people at a restaurant. Each person pays their own bill, and we have a long kind of 2-hour conversation about the possibilities and the challenges of democracy local to global. So that's what we do.
Awesome. I definitely appreciate each of those programs. And obviously, they each have different, you know, missions and goals, it sounds like, but definitely, at least collectively, I hear like kind of getting the conversation and awareness about, you know, whether it be democracy or even the opportunities outside of, you know, the school space, just getting that out there. And I think that I love that you have created this organization to be able to kind of facilitate that, whether it be, you know, through one-on-ones that you're doing with the kids, or whether it be through your Facebook group or the dinners that you mentioned as well too. But there's just so many ways that we can communicate. And I think that it's to our advantage if we're able to have and have opportunities to be able to do that. So I appreciate you for creating those opportunities.
Yeah, sure.
Awesome. So I wanted to ask you for what I call your secret sauce, and it could be for yourself or your organization, but what do you feel kind of sets you apart and makes you unique?
So we are quite unusual among educational nonprofits because most educational nonprofits focus on schools. And we are not focused on schools. We are trying to innovate, as I mentioned, education and citizen engagement outside school walls. And there's a really important, you know, kind of worth elaborating reason for that. And you can think about it in terms of like families and what, and I'll give you an example from my own personal life. I'm dating this, this woman who's a professor at George Washington University. She has two kids. She's African-American, her kids are African-American, and they have a very different experience than my mentee, who comes from a lower income family where the mom dropped out of school when she was in high school, and she has three kids. She completed high school, a GED, but nonetheless, she has very different resources. And the point is that through mentoring, right, we are able to provide some, not all the opportunities and the resources and the knowledge, et cetera, and so forth that this woman who's a college professor provides to her kids. She, you know, assigns them work when they're, assigns them like homework that she does herself because she's a teacher. She's capable of doing those things. She does that during her, during like they have spring break from school. She's giving them more assignments. So you can imagine her kids who are 9 and 15 at this point have, so much more knowledge of the world, such a broader vocabulary, et cetera, and so forth. And through mentoring, we're trying to provide a little piece of that. So my conversations right now during the this coronavirus pandemic that, you know, are just 30 minutes with my mentee focused on learning about a topic, and that leads to learning about other things like World War I and World War II and you know, nuclear weapons and that kind of thing, is giving some of that richness to my mentee's life outside of school in that critical place where inequality is being deepened because some parents have so many more resources, and not just monetary, right, but also the knowledge, the skills, et cetera, and so forth, that kids, unfortunately, lower down the socioeconomic scale don't get to enjoy. So we're trying to, as much as possible, distinguish ourselves by providing those resources that are so missing in everyday life outside of school.
Appreciate you for breaking that down as your secret sauce. So I wanted to switch gears a little bit, and I want to ask you for what I call a CEO hack. So that could be like an app, a book, or a habit that you have, but what's something that makes you more effective and efficient?
What I would like to recommend is this author / coach / speaker. Her name is Dori Clark, D as in David, O-R-I-E, Clark, C-L-A-R-K. If you just go to doriclark.com, you'll find all the resources, including she's written 3 books, I believe. I read 2 of her books. Somebody actually knew way back like 20 years ago or so in Boston when she was not this fairly well-known and accomplished author and coach and so on. And but she's an awesome person who has written some really useful books on how to, it's one of her books is called Entrepreneurial You. And it's about how as entrepreneurs, we can basically fashion the life we want by developing a variety of income streams.
Appreciate that hack. So now I want to ask you for what I call a CEO nugget. So that could be like a word of wisdom or a piece of advice, or if you can hop into a time machine, what would you tell your younger business self?
So one of the things that I'm currently using a lot is LinkedIn. I actually have, so anybody who's interested, by the way, I'm beginning to do consulting, speaking of kind of independent income streams, because for the last several years, I've very successfully used interns. I don't pay them a red cent. I pay them in chocolate, essentially, when I get together with them. But I also give them a substantial, you know, meaningful experience. I've relied on interns for doing the bulk of kind of some crucial work in our kind of shoestring operation nonprofit. And so if anybody's interested in that, happy to contact me. You can reach me at paul@learninglife.info. But one of my interns is literally I gave him the password and username for my LinkedIn. And one of his tasks this semester is basically to move my contacts from, I started with about 1,600, and by the end of the semester, he's going to bring it to about 5,000. And we're on target for that to happen. And it's targeted LinkedIn contacts, but he's basically an assistant who is using my LinkedIn to expand my network. And what I found as he's expanding my network is that more people are now requesting contact with me, request and connect with me. And I'm getting more solicitations than I previously got. So for instance, nice. I've gotten a couple of solicitations to join these networks of entrepreneurs in the Metro DC area. I haven't seized upon them, but nonetheless, just the sheer act of increasing your network on, mm-hmm. on LinkedIn, which is free, by the way, I don't have a paid subscription to LinkedIn, mm-hmm. Can actually increase your visibility. And I'm doing it in part because I'm trying to position myself in the long term to be kind of a thought leader, for lack of a better term, on democracy and citizen participation in education. And so that is kind of a very kind of practical, useful thing that I would recommend people do using LinkedIn. And it's totally free.
Truly appreciate that nugget. And now I wanted to ask you my absolute favorite question, which is the definition of what it means to be a CEO. And we're hoping to have different quote unquote CEOs on this show. So Paul, what does being a CEO mean to you?
You know, the first word that comes to mind is leader, but leadership can be done in so many different ways. And to me, the most important way, what I define as the best kind of leadership, is leadership that empowers other people.
Paul, I truly appreciate that definition. I appreciate your time even more. What I wanted to do is pass you the mic, so to speak, just to see how people can get in touch with you and hear about all the awesome things that you're doing.
Great. So anybody, I'll reiterate, anybody wants to reach me can reach me at paul@learninglife.info. And if they want to learn more about our programming through our website, learninglife.info.
Awesome. 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 Well, thank you so much again, Paul. We will have the links and information in the show notes so that everybody can follow up with you. But I appreciate, you know, your time and all the awesome things that you're doing. So I appreciate you, and I hope you have a great rest of the day.
Thank you for listening to the I Am CEO podcast powered by Blue 16 Media. Tune in next time and visit us at imceo.co. I Am CEO is not just a phrase, it's a community. Be sure to follow us on social media and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and everywhere you listen to podcasts. Subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating. Grab CEO gear at www.ceogear.co. This has been the I Am CEO podcast with Gresham Harkless. Thank you for listening.